We are live. Welcome to our online viewers. It's great to have you with us here this morning at Christian Life Community Church in Newville. And again, we just want to encourage you, if you don't have a home church of your own, we invite you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, you can check out our website, ChristianLifeCommunityChurch.net. Great to have you with us today. Well, I was at our family was at a wedding yesterday, and I was telling the boys, this one's too good to not steal. And this pastor told this joke at the wedding yesterday. So there was this young pastor. Hey, Grandma Gibb, how you doing? Good to see ya. Bless your heart. Oh, your driver was late. Oh my goodness. Oh. God bless your driver. Well, better late than never, right? We're just glad you're here. Good to see you. We love you. So there was this young pastor, right? And he was going to do his first wedding. And he was a little nervous, and he went to a senior pastor. He said, look, what happens if I get in the middle of this thing and I just go blank and I don't remember anything? And the senior pastor said, look, if that happens, it's okay. Just quote a scripture. It'll help get you back on track. You'll be fine. And so sure enough, his greatest fear happened. He gets into the middle of this wedding and he just goes blank. But he remembered what the senior pastor said. Unfortunately, the scripture that he quoted was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oops. Like I said, it was too good to... For some of us, that's what they call a groaner, I guess. Like, oh, really? Yeah. We're going to talk about choices today. And you'll remember last week we were talking about choices, and we looked at two men, remember? We actually looked at three sets of two men and the choices that those people made. And this is very much in line with what we see in Scripture. Remember, Jesus taught the parable of the talents, the three men that received talents. One received one received two, one received five. And he goes on to explain the choices that those men made in that parable and what they decided to do with the talents that they were given, right? Comes down to choices that we make. We're making some choices here this morning, right, based on what the invitation that God is giving us, amen? And, of course, the one with five went out and traded, and he made five more. And the one with two went out and traded, and he made two more talents. And what did the one who had one, what did he do? He buried it, right. And then there came an accounting. The master came back, and he wanted to see what each servant had done with the talents that they were given. What were the choices that they made with what they were given? And he was very pleased with the five, the one that had five and went out and made five more. He was very pleased with the one that had been given two and made two more. And then he came to the one who had one. And the one said, I was afraid, and I took it and I buried it in the ground. Here it is, you have your one talent that you gave me. And how did the master respond to that? Did he say, oh, I'm so sorry that you were afraid, and oh, here, did he kind of like respond to him that way? No. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. Ooh, ouch, is right. Sometimes God has a different perspective than what we do. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know I want to return where I haven't even sown. You could have at least taken it to the bank and gotten interest. I would have been pleased with that. But because of fear, the fear that was driving this man to make the choices that he made, he chose poorly, didn't he? So we're going to be talking about choices today. And we don't want to make choices based on fear, based on anger, based on envy, right? Based on the things of the flesh. We want to make choices and decisions based on, first of all, it starts out of a love relationship that we have with God. And because I love him, I want to do what I can do to please him. I want to do those things that are pleasing to him. Amen? I want love to be the motivating factor in the choices and decisions that I make. Amen? You with me? So we see all throughout Scripture, the Lord gives us choices. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, Moses says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of days. Amen. That's a good way to make a choice, based on this love relationship that we have with him. Later in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, we read, Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. This is what Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice I'm going to make. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? And that's what I'm encouraging us this morning to do. Just a quick review of last week. The three sets of two men that we looked at. Remember, the first set were the two men that were crucified with Jesus. Remember? And one was in pride, the other was in humility. One blasphemed Jesus. Remember, he's about ready to take his final breath shortly. And he thinks it's a good idea to blaspheme the Messiah. And we talked about pride. And making choices based on pride is a horrible thing. Remember, pride puts ourselves up here and we look down on others as if they're inferior. And in that moment, that's literally what this man was doing to Jesus. He was in pride. He said, look, get yourself off this cross and get us out of here too. I want what I want right now. And he blasphemed Jesus. The other man was in humility, which puts Jesus up here in his proper position, and we come under him, right? We choose to come under him. We choose to submit to him. We choose to acknowledge he is King of Kings, and I'm blessed to be a son of the Most High. That's humility. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. As he walked in humility. And we looked at how those two men made those decisions, right? And then we looked at the first Adam versus second Adam, Jesus. And how through one man's disobedience, sin entered. But how through one man's obedience, righteousness came. And we looked at those two differences. The stark difference between first Adam and second Adam, and we talked about all that we receive in this package we call salvation. It's forgiveness of sin. It's peace with God. It's healing of our bodies. It's provision. It's all this stuff. It's joy. His joy is our strength, right? It's all that stuff that we get as a result of the choices that second Adam made for our benefit. And then finally, we looked at the third set of two men, which was a homeless guy named Larry, who begs daily at a traffic light in the city, hoping to get enough that he can buy the things that he needs for that day, and how such a limited worldview he has. Remember, we talked about if Larry wants to go to the next town over, all this stuff that he has to consider. Do I have enough money for bus fare? If I don't, is it going to be too hot for me to walk in the heat? Is it going to be raining? If it's going to be raining, do I have rain gear to walk that distance to the next town over? Am I going to just have to postpone it for now because he has very little. And we contrasted that to somebody that has much wealth like Bill Gates. And when he wants to go anywhere in the world, how he considers a whole different set of things, right? Has my private jet been fueled up? What five-star resort has my assistant booked me at for that stay, right? What guests do I want to invite and pay for their way? What dignitaries would I be willing to meet with in Europe, say, for example? Because he has much, he has a different worldview. And then we talked about how we've been given so much in this package called salvation. But sometimes we still have that worldview like Larry the homeless guy. And we're begging daily for stuff. When God says, you have a seat at my table. You have no lack. You can partake at my table every day of your life. Why are you begging for stuff that you already have access to? So we talked about what would it look like for somebody to walk in humility as a new creation in Christ Jesus and tap into the resources that we have as that new creation. What would that look like? Remember? And one of the things that I wanted to mention that it just totally slipped my mind, because we talked about how it would look like, you know, Ananias, who the Lord asks him to do a very difficult thing. Go and pray for Saul of Tarsus that he would receive his sight. And Ananias, what he knows about Saul of Tarsus is he gets a lot of Christians killed and thrown in jail. And you want me to go pray for him? Nevertheless, he was walking in humility and submitted his will to the will of God and went and prayed for Saul, who obviously was healed, and went on to become the Apostle Paul. And because of Ananias' obedience and humility, he helped to release Paul into his destiny. That's what it would look like, somebody who walks in humility as a new creation in Christ and taps into the resources that we have as a new creation in Christ. You know what else it would look like? It would look like this right here. Now, you probably can't see that. It says, Jesus heals, Hebrews 13:8. On the back, there's a bunch more scriptures. It says, and Jesus healed them all, has some scripture references. And at the bottom, it says, are you in need? I would be honored to pray with you. I like that. You want one? Talk to Mike Deal. He's the one that had these made. That's what it would look like for somebody who walks in humility, realizes he's a new creation in Christ, and taps into the resources that are available to him. He's able to have this awesome t-shirt made up. Now, when Mike starts wearing this out in public, how many times do you think somebody's going to come up to him with a physical need, and he's going to lay hands on him and pray for them, and they're going to be healed? And he's going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Well, that's what it looks like when we make choices based on our love relationship with God. Isn't that good? If you want one of these, right there's the man to talk to. That's tremendous, Mike. Tremendous. So that's what we talked about last week. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Oh, I just love what the Lord's doing this morning. I tell you, worship team, great job this morning. I haven't heard that drummer in a while. I've heard her before, though. She's good. And I just love the presence that's here right now. I love the gentleness. I love the love. I love the grace that God is extending to us as his children. I love the opportunity that he's giving us to make kingdom choices to receive from him today. Amen? Amen. So we talked a little bit about some scriptures out of Romans chapter 5. Again, we were going back and forth between first Adam and second Adam. And I just felt like we were supposed to get into Romans chapter 6 this morning. So I'm just kind of following the breadcrumbs here, you know? And this is his message. This is his church. And so my agenda gets tossed out the window because I want to be in step with him. Amen? And so here we are in Romans chapter 6. And at the end of Romans chapter 5, you'll remember that Paul was talking about how, you know, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Amen? And so he goes from there, and beginning in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not." And I wish Jack and Nancy were here this morning, because Jack always used to comment in his translation, it was, "Heaven forbid." And he always used to get a kick out of that. "Heaven forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Did you catch that? How shall we who died to sin? We died to sin. Live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This is good news we're looking at this morning. We've died to sin. We were baptized into Jesus' death. When Jesus was crucified, whenever we go into the waters of baptism, that's a symbolic, prophetic act of what has happened in reality to us spiritually. Jesus died, we were baptized into Christ Jesus. We identify with his death. And as a result, we are dead to sin. Amen? That's good news for somebody this morning. Hey, hon, how you doing? I didn't expect ya. Hello. I'm just surprised because she had to work later than usual, and she said she didn't think she would make it this morning. So I'm pleasantly surprised. She is so sweet. Yes, I agree. I agree. So verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." We talk about this all the time, how we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is the spiritual reality that has happened to us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and when we're obedient to go get baptized, that's a representation of what's happened to us. It's good. It's very good. We were baptized into his death, into Christ Jesus. We're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. Does stuff affect a dead person anymore? No. Right? We're dead to sin. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Come on. That is so good. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, again, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. This just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? We're dead to sin. We were crucified in Christ Jesus. We're no longer slaves of sin. Verse 7 says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." I'm dead to sin. I'm crucified in Christ Jesus. I am no longer a slave of sin. I've been freed from sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we live from that reality, as we live from that place, we will make choices that are very different than before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Before that reality happened in us, right? Our choices will be different. Our decisions will be different. We're now dead to sin. We're freed from sin. We're not slaves of sin any longer. Verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so do we as well." Right? We died to sin. We were baptized into his death. We're free from sin. We're no longer slaves of sin. And as Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we also identify with that resurrection. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. The life that we live now, what's it say? The life that he lives to God. And the life that we live to God. A good Heavenly Father who says, you have a place at my table every day. Every day. You have much available to you through salvation. Don't be like that beggar. Just ask me. He says, if you need rest, ask me. I'll give you rest. Walk with me. I'll teach you how to live a life of rest. That's so good. Who needs rest this morning? Yeah. We could all use rest. Yeah. Amen. Amen. As we make choices based on the spiritual reality that's happened to us, we'll walk with him. He'll show us how to live a life of rest. Verse 11 goes on to say, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. So Paul is encouraging us, don't make the decision to let sin reign in your mortal body. Yes, this spiritual reality has happened to us, where we've died with Jesus and we've been raised to life in him. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That spiritual reality has happened, amen? But it's now my choice. What decisions am I going to make? Am I going to let sin reign in my mortal body that I should obey it in its lusts? Am I going to live the way I used to before I accepted Jesus? Or am I going to live in this new spiritual reality that I have? The choice is ours. What choice am I going to make? What choice are we going to make? Amen? Paul says, make the choice to not let sin reign in your mortal body. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Again, the choice is ours to make. What choice are we going to make? If we every day said, God, I present my members as instruments of righteousness to you, what would happen? How would that affect the decisions and the choices that we make on a daily basis? It would be tremendous. It would be a game changer. We would learn how to live a life of rest as we consistently do that in our lives, as we consistently come to Father's table and partake of what he has for us. Oh, that would change everything. And not only would it change us, it would change those around us as well. Amen? Amen. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I came across a quote online recently. It says, identifying the pattern is awareness. Choosing not to repeat the cycle is growth. Pretty good, huh? Yeah, I got it for you. Identifying the pattern is awareness. Choosing not to repeat the cycle is growth. Amen? Let me just give a very extreme example. Say I'm an alcoholic and I drink a fifth of whiskey every day, and I'm just a stumbling, fall-down drunk, and I realize I got a problem. I realize I'm addicted to alcohol. Identifying the pattern is awareness. That's good. That's the first step, they say, right? Is acknowledging that there's a problem. But if I just stop there, is anything going to change in my life? No. Nothing's going to change. But as I choose to not repeat the cycle, that's where the growth happens. That's where the change happens. As I resolve to go to AA, as I resolve to go to a counselor, as I resolve to not only go to a counselor, but to listen and do what they're asking me to do, that's where the growth happens. Amen? Identifying the pattern is awareness. That's good, but don't stop there. Choosing to not repeat the cycle is growth. I have a little clip to play, a little 5-minute clip of Bill Johnson. Some of you know that his wife, Benny, recently died of cancer at like 67, 68. And this is a battle that she's and the family have been fighting for a number of years. I think she was diagnosed with cancer a number of years ago, received treatment, was in remission, and then it came back. And she sadly died like a week and a half ago. And amazingly, Bill Johnson preached this message, I want to say like 3 days after her death. And his words are very poignant. And I think we can learn something from the choices and the decisions that he made in light of his wife's passing. So if that's ready, can we just go ahead? It's like a 5-minute video. I'll let you know when we're through, okay?
It's so good to be here. It's such an incredible privilege to have such large family, you know.
We love you.
Thanks. I'm just glad. I'm glad for the privilege to be with family and friends, and I found out during the COVID thing that I was addicted to people, and that addiction has only gotten worse. So you will never get rid of me. So I'm thankful for the privilege of this morning as well. I did not want to miss this morning, but I also knew I could not do this 4 times. So this is the only time I show up today. Other than I'm going to get raptured right when this is over with. I will not be around to clean up any mess that I make. So the backslider in heart will always judge God by what he didn't do. But those who run with tenderness for who he is will always define him by what he has said, by what he's promised, and by what he has done. And to be as honest as I know how to be, I've seen too much of his kindness to think anything other than he is absolutely good. Always, always good. We don't get to choose stuff like I don't want to experience any pain. Now, that's not an option we get, you know. It's we do life. In fact, let's be really honest. He says things like, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Those verses are completely useless unless you're going to experience loss and disappointment. I mean, nobody needs to be taught to rejoice if everything works the way you want it to work. Right? It's pointless. So his nature is defined by promise and by his history, his testimony. And that's what we build theology around. That's who he is. But what about loss? That's the mystery that we have the privilege of carrying. The level of revelation God gives you will always be equal to the measure of mystery you're willing to live with. And the inability to live with mystery is your resistance to childlikeness. It's childlikeness that actually gives us access to dimensions and realms of the kingdom that you can't get in any other way. There are certain things that he has hidden in the journey. For example, several years ago, I discovered something about in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. And what I found was there are measures of his presence you can only find in the valley of the shadow of death. And we say we love presence, and we do. We're a people that gather to celebrate and honor who he is and thrive on just that presence of the Spirit of God who is always with us. And I there is no greater treasure than him. Never will be. Heaven itself is him. And yet there are aspects of presence you can only find in the valley of the shadow of death. It's only in darkness, in darkness of soul, in the trial of not knowing what's going on and doing everything you know to do and having things not work out like you think they should. He's not a vending machine. You know, I don't get to put a quarter in and get out what I want. It's a relational journey, and I've experienced his kindness, his miracles at a level that I could never earn or deserve. And I just don't have the right to reevaluate what he's like because I've experienced loss. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. It's everybody in the room has experienced this. So I don't stand here as, you know, the only guy who's experienced pain. I understand that. I do life with you, and we've wept together and laughed together, and I get that. But I just want to tell you that God gives us these special moments, or he gives us these opportunities to.
We can stop it there, yeah. We don't need to watch the commercial. So 3 days after his wife tragically dies of cancer, Bill Johnson gets up, and he's made some choices about how he's going to handle this situation. And he's able to say, the backslider in heart judges God based on what he didn't do. And he's implying, I'm not going to base any judgment on God on what he didn't do, because I've walked with him long enough to know he absolutely is good. He's always good. I don't understand it. There's mystery involved. But I will not say anything other than he is good. He's very good. And we've seen others that are a part of this house walk through that same process. I mean, just recently, Mike, years ago, Sharon, and come to that same conclusion that although I don't understand it, he's good. He's good. What a good choice to make. He's always good. No, I don't understand it. There's mystery. But he's good. In Hebrews, we're encouraged to choose to walk in this newness in Christ. Jesus himself chose how he was going to live his life. In the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Let us run our race with endurance. Chris Vallotton gives this great analogy that we're part of a relay race. You know what a relay race is, right? You know, like there's four people on the relay team, and they have this baton. And like the 4x400 relay, each participant runs one lap around the track, and when he's done, he passes the baton onto the next runner. That runner takes the baton, and then he runs his leg of the race, passes it on to the next guy, right? Until all four of them have gone around. And when the first guy's done, he's passed off his baton. He's run his race. He doesn't leave the place. He stays there and watches. Because how his teammates run determines where they finish and the reward that he receives. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there
are those of us who have family members that have run their race, and they've passed the baton on to us, and they ran well. And here we're running our leg of the race. And the writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Will we choose to put down those things that would otherwise hinder us and thwart us from running the best we can in our leg of the race, so that we can pass the baton on to the next person? And where they ultimately finish, we get a reward from that. The whole team gets the reward. Who wants to run their leg of the race the best they can? I want to make my decision, my choice, to run the best I can. Because look, we got two sons. And when I'm gone, I mean, they're running their leg now, but they're going to run it without me at some point. And I want to show them what it's like to run well. And I believe that they're going to run very well. Listen, the race that we run does not only affect us, it affects many others as well. Let's not kid ourselves for a second. We need to confront that reality. Well, it won't affect anyone else if I do this. Yeah, it will. It actually will. It will. So sometimes we have to change. We have to change the way that we think. We have to change the choices that we're making. And for some of us, change is almost like a four-letter word. It's like a cuss word. Like, change? You want me to what? Change? By golly, I've done it this way my whole life, and I ain't about to change now. I heard another quote, or I read another quote online. It says, don't let the concept of change scare you as much as the concept of staying unhappy. Oh, isn't that good? Don't let the concept of change scare you as much as the concept of staying unhappy. Sometimes we gotta make changes. If I'm that fall down drunk and my life is just, it sucks, right? I mean, let's be real. My life is, and I'm unhappy, but I'm afraid to change. I should be more afraid of staying unhappy than of the change that I have to make. Amen? If I see myself as less than, when God sees me as a son, his son, I need to change my way of thinking. I need to discard that destructive way of seeing myself, and I need to change and embrace how Father God sees me. Amen? So as we close here, I just want to mention a few examples of folks who changed. You know, there was Jonah in the Old Testament. And you know, God called him to go to this great city and to preach repentance. And because he didn't like those people, because it wasn't his personal preference, he went in another direction. We all know the story. And he ended up in a pretty bad place. And he was actually swallowed by this large fish. And what God was doing in the midst of that, he wasn't trying to destroy Jonah, was he? He was trying to help Jonah to change his mind about something. Amen? Now, if I found myself in the belly of a fish, I'd probably change my mind too. Would you? Have you ever felt like you haven't literally been in the belly of the fish, but have you ever felt like God was applying some pressure to help you to make the correct change. Have you felt that way? Yeah. Yeah. And how much better did Jonah feel when he finally made that decision to change his mind about the matter? Next thing you know, he's on the beach and he is running to Nineveh. He's not avoiding it. He's running to the place that he said he wouldn't go to before. And we, how many of us have been there too? God applies pressure not to destroy us, but to help us to make a good choice, a good decision, a kingdom decision, so that we can walk in the plans and purposes that not only affected Jonah, that not only affected us, but in his case, affected a whole city. Come on. Come on. The choices and decisions that we make not only affect us, didn't only affect Jonah, it affected that whole great city of Nineveh. And it's the same in our lives as well. So Jonah's a great example of someone that changed his mind about something. Another quick one, again, as we get ready to wrap up here in just a minute, is John Mark. You'll remember that John Mark was traveling with Paul and Barnabas. And suddenly, John Mark, this young guy, decides he's going to bolt. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Later, Paul and Barnabas plan to go back to the believers that they had been to previously. Barnabas wants John Mark to go. And Paul says, uh-uh. That deserter, that guy who bailed on us, ain't no way he's going. Nope. And there was such a disagreement between these two apostolic leaders that they ended up splitting. And Barnabas took John Mark and they went. And then Paul had Silas and they went out. And they ministered to a lot of people. But we read later on in 2 Timothy 4:11 that Paul writes, get John Mark, the same guy we're talking about, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Evidently, there were some changes that John Mark made in his life. Amen? Because now Paul's not saying, he ain't going with us. Now he's requesting, bring this guy to me, because he's useful to me for ministry. There were some changes. There was some maturity, probably. There was some growing up that John Mark did over that period of time. And perhaps there were even some changes that happened in the Apostle Paul. Where maybe before, no, he bailed on me once, strike his name. No way. Maybe there was a softening of his heart. Maybe there was a better understanding of grace that caused some change to happen in the Apostle Paul over time, perhaps. So change can be very good for us. Amen. And so I just encourage all of us that as God is putting his finger on areas in our life that need to be changed, that we would say yes to the change that he wants to make, knowing that it not only affects us, it affects others as well. And what that will lead to is great choices and decisions that we make down the road. Amen? Will you stand with me as we close in prayer? I just want you to know, I so appreciate this church family. I so appreciate each one of you. We're familia here. We're family, right? We appreciate you. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, 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 amen. And I got to tell you, we have some powerful women of God in this house. And I'm not kidding you. I am thankful for each and every one of you. And I believe that you're going to continue and even increase the kingdom effect that you have on this house and in your workplaces and in your community as well. It's going to be enhanced. It's going to be increased. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get ready for the prophetic to flow out of you. You're at the office and you're talking to someone, and all of a sudden you find yourself prophesying over this coworker. Where did that come from? Well, it came from your choice to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. It came from you consistently sitting at Father's table and partaking of what he has for you. Get ready, ladies. I'm not kidding. Get ready, ladies. Get ready. We're cheering you on. We're for you. We love you. We say go in everything that God has for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that this is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you that you are pleased to meet with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the things that you've spoken to us. And Father, as we commit ourselves to you afresh and anew, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us and enable us to make kingdom choices on a daily basis that not only affect us, but affect others for your kingdom as well. Fill us afresh and anew with your Spirit, with your power, with your glory, with your compassion, with your grace, with your joy, with your peace. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've accomplished this morning. We ask that you seal those things in our heart. Be with us this week. And Lord, that we would have powerful encounters with people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.